You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Paddy Aspel and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. It's Ayr, Sedgefield and Southwell on Tuesday afternoon, so racing on the flatter Ayr and National Hunt Racing from Sedgefield in Southwell. We've got all other action throughout the evening on the domestic front at Kempton Park and over in Ireland from Dundalk, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
Yeah, I'm fine, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. We're going to look back at the Monday Jury, which looks back at the Arc, of course, the big race from the weekend. It's also a little bit about the Cambridgeshire in there as well, and a few future assignments or potential future assignments for some of the stars that we saw out over the weekend. We're then going to get Paddy's thoughts in a couple of races for Tuesday. Before we do that, though, what's going on, Paddy? You're now a champion jockey. You're riding over here as well. You having a good time with things?
Yeah, I'm currently, I said to Alex when I did a podcast last week, I'm on a 10-day ban at the minute, so I'm having a bit of time to help yourselves out and a bit of family time as well, and hopefully we'll be back racing next week, please God.
Yeah, still riding out and stuff while you're banned?
Bits and pieces, but generally trying to treat it as a little bit of a break, really. You know, I'm a bit of a running nut. Missus has always got mad at me. I'm all constantly running around, but, I mean, that's just to help your weight-wise. But, yeah, I mean, when she goes out, I'm still off running, but I don't tell her. But I'm, just trying to chill out as best I can and enjoy it. And, I mean, hopefully I'll have a job confirmed for the winter. I don't know for definite just yet, but hopefully I'll have more news next week as regards winter plans, and so I'm quite looking forward to that if it all pans out how I'm hoping.
All right, well, best of luck with that. Keep us up to date, and a couple of days on William Hill Racing Radio to fill in the gaps as well, so we're all good. Right, let's get stuck into the Monday Jury then. We're going to spin through these questions. Paddy's going to give us his answers, and the first of them is, right then, what did you make of this year's Arc de Triomphe?
It was fantastic, really. I mean, more so the fact that you just see the sort of regard that John Gosden has always sort of held his horse in, and the fact that, you know, Frankie's words afterwards, just how easy it was for him, you know. I mean, that's a fair old quote, isn't it, on the back of a race like the Arc. But there's no doubt he wasn't over-egging the pudding. I mean, it was easy, and it's the easiest Arc winner I've seen visually for a while. And I just hope and pray, and I think John Gosden hinted pretty strongly at it afterwards that we might see the winner again, mightn't we?
Hopefully so, yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose, all being well, they could try and make her a dual Arc winner, couldn't they?
Cause yeah, definitely.
She's won it easy enough this time around. So.
Yeah, very easily.
Official winning margin for the Arc was 2.5 lengths, but she was visually very impressive, enable beating Cloth of Stars and Ulysses, who ran well. Judgment International winner, of course, and he won the Eclipse earlier on in the year. He's kind of a typical late-blooming Sir Michael Stout horse, and won for the Home Brigade as well in the shape of Cloth of Stars. So I think the form of the race, well, it looked like it was going to stand up beforehand. I think given the horses that have finished in those kind of places, it looks like it's a true renewal as well.
Yeah, I'd have said so. I mean, Ulysses, the way he likes to run into a race, maybe the French style isn't going to be his bag, you know, because the fractions early doors aren't always what you would get over here. So he's run well, and I mean, obviously Jim Crowley, knowing him as well as he does, knows how he needs to be ridden. I think Connections will be very happy with where he's ended up, because I do just think that side of the water, things aren't really going to fall in his lap as what they are here. Although he does handle the ground, I just think it's the style of the way the races are run isn't really to his particular liking. So yeah, he's run with great credit, really.
Yep, he has finishing third there behind Enable, in this year's Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Is Clemmie your idea of the 1,000 guineas winner at this stage? Clemmie is currently, and I do have the betting up here, the 3-1 favourite for the 1,000 guineas next year.
Yeah, that was a great performance by Clemmie. I was in studio the other day when that race was on, and just the way, I mean, was very tough, seeing the race out very well, and very strong to the line, and I mentioned on here a couple of days ago as well that, you know, Ryan Moore has always held, he's always held this filly in very high regard, said it was probably the best two-year-old filly he'd ever sat on, and there's no doubt, visually, that's how it appeared the other day, and just very, very likeable, and, I mean, probably the most taken thing for me was just how strong she was to the line. You know, I do like to see a horse strong at the line and win a race authoritatively, and that's certainly what she did, and, no, very, very exciting.
Yeah, she won the Cheveley Park Stakes at Newmarket on Saturday. The next question is some of the other young horses that we saw in action at Newmarket over the three-day Cambridgeshire Festival. Did any of Ellercam, Roaring Lion and US Navy Flag float your boat at HQ?
Well, obviously, Ellercam is, you know, bred in the purple, and I'm sure connections were just relieved that it won, really. And that was actually Mark Johnson's quote. He said, yeah, I expected him to win, but I was just more relieved. Obviously, he's got a great affinity with the family down over the years. But no, it was a good performance. And I mean, I think Jim Crowley said that although raced a little bit keenly, he was worried for a little while. But no, in the end, seen it out quite nicely. But I thought Roaring Lion was a good performance because he nearly, his inexperience nearly got him beat, and he had to show some real resolution and some guts, and I thought was given a very strong ride by Ushie Murphy on the day. But the fact that, you know, he just rolled around when he meet the rising ground out of the dip in Newmarket, just for a few strides, he was just looking like he was going to get done. But in fairness, he's battled back and seen it out quite nicely, and just a horse with plenty of class, travels well, and he, for me, I just couldn't see him doing anything other than progressing.
I thought, I was in the studio that day when Ellercam won on Thursday, and I thought his quote for the guineas was quite generous still at 20-1, because if you look at his parents, they both won guineas, didn't they? And his breeding suggests that he should have every chance in those kind of races. And I thought his, the way he had to win the race on Thursday, where he was a little bit wider than maybe would have thought, and it wasn't spectacular the way it looked, but I thought he had to overcome quite a lot to win that race still.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Without, I mean, when you factor everything in, I think it adds up to a pretty decent performance, and it probably is a horse that will settle down with a bit more racing and just adjust to the job a bit, and if he does, you know, be a hell of an animal.
What chance do you give Beat the Bank against Ribchester et al. In the QE2?
I'd give him a good chance because this is a horse who just seems to be withstanding his racing very, very well, and the other day didn't really help himself, to be honest, Mark, because he overraced a bit early doors.
Yeah.
But how strong he was to the line, considering he's done that. That was a very taken performance. And I know we've seen the big winner, the big handicap winner, come up that side on Saturday. So I don't really think, you know, I wouldn't really put him in that bracket that he was on the right side in particular. But it was just the way he finished off. He was head and shoulders the best horse in the race. And it was a very taken performance. And like I said, he probably done enough to get himself beat, but you know that was never going to happen the other day, and that was probably visually the most impressive thing.
He is currently an 8-1 chance for the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, by the way. Ribchester is the favourite there at 9-4. Alwacare 7-1 with Churchill, Tarif and Winter. Beat the Bank 8-1, 10-1 Barney Roy and Inns of Court. Labravida also 10s and 12s or bigger for the remainder. The Cambridgeshire went to an apprentice. Which young riders impress you? The Cambridgeshire going the way of George Wood on board Dolphin Vista, trained by Martin Mead, of course. But yeah, any apprentices that, I mean, George would be up there as one of the more prominent ones, wouldn't he?
Yeah, certainly. George has had a good season, and you know, I'm sure he's been well mentored by his boss James Fanshawe. You know, I'd imagine he's a great trainer of a horse, and probably is just as good of a, with apprentices. You know, the way he nurtures them and brings them forward, and he's given them plenty of chances this year, and he's not let them down. And that was a great winner for him the other day. But I mean, you know, people who listen on here who are silly enough to listen to me, they'll know I've always been a big Dave Egan fan.
Yeah.
You know, I had a bit of experience with him at Variance when I was down in Newmarket, and was always impressed by his outlook and just his general sort of outlook on the whole job. And obviously he'll have been well nurtured as well by his dad, John Egan, and I've seen him earlier on at Bath. Just rides with a very wise head on his shoulders for a young kid. Judges a race very well, and it's won him far more races than it's lost him this year, because he's won an awful lot of races by the narrowest of margins, just simply by his race analysis and judging the pace of a race and being able to read a race. And I do hope he holds on in the apprentice title, and you know, because he's a lovely young kid, and he's very mannerly, he listens, he takes his time, and I think he's a guy who's going to be on the scene for many years to come.
Final question of this week's Monday Joe then. How significant is the Mac Toombs return to buying Coolmore side yearlings?
I think it's a breath of fresh air for me, Mark, because you know, I think maybe a lot of has been made of this sort of bit of a, what would you call it, rivalry between the two. But I think Gay Kellaway sums it up properly. It's thawed ever so slightly, you would say, because they're always going to be in competition. And the fact that they are always going to be in competition is going to do nothing but good for the sport, because they're the two sort of powerhouses of the whole industry. So we want them in rivalry. But the fact that they're willing now to, you know, be involved with the breeding lines of you know, Coolmore and whatnot. I mean, because how could they not? How long could they ignore Galileo?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's just an absolute phenomenon. So the fact that the relationship, if there ever was anything in it, I mean, it looks that way, but nobody knows for sure. But look, it can only be great for racing, and like I said, it's just going to improve the actual thoroughbred, because we're just going to have the absolute cream. So yeah, you know, for me, it's all good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's a good sign, a good positive move forward as well. That's the Monday Jury then for another week. We'll leave that there and we'll move on to the best of Tuesday's action. Paddy has picked two races out for us. The first of them is at Ayr. It's a William Hill sponsored card at Ayr on Tuesday. And it is the two clear meeting as well. So if there are six runners or more in the race and you find the winner goes on to score by two or more lengths, then you get 15% on top of your winnings as a free bet. The 4 o'clock is the William Hill best odds guaranteed handicap. It's over a mile and five furlongs. And one horse that is pretty obvious starting point near Paddy is Brandon Castle. Runs under the penalty here. He's won four of his last five starts, and he's won by some way the last twice as well.
He has, and I mean, connections are making hay. I mean, they're travelling up to Ayr after just being out at Chester at the weekend. But he's done really, really well, this horse. Actually, the stewards had the other riders in at Catrick when he won two starts back for letting him have too much rope on the front end. But simply, the riders in behind, for me, didn't ride a bad race, and the stewards were of the same opinion. But just the fact that Brandon Castle was doing it so easily, the lads in behind couldn't keep up, and they didn't honestly think that he could keep that gallop up. But he did, and he put in a similar display at Chester at the weekend, just galloped his rivals into submission, and he was very, very strong at the line. But, I mean, he's got 10 stone 6 to carry it there. Now, I'm not wanting to get the horse beat, but I'm just trying to factor in everything that could get him beat. Like, he's travelled, he's been busy lately. He's been up to Ayr, he's been back down to Chester. He's been up to Catrick, Chester, now he's up to Ayr on Tuesday. He's got 10 stone 6 on his back. Yeah, Midge Mullen knows him well, so, you know, you've got to factor that in as well. But just the sheer fact that he's going to have to give a stone of £5 to my fancy here, which is Vindicator.
Yep.
Now, Vindicator is a horse who won earlier in the year at Thirsk, and he came from well back and a pretty unpromising position. So all this horse is about is stamina and staying. And if the race is run to how we'd imagine it would be, it'll be a pretty true pace and a well-run race. I think this will really suit this improving three-year-old Vindicator. The Michael Dodds horses love cutting the ground, this chap in particular. Cal Rodriguez won in him at the weekend. Previous to that, Adam McNamara had won in him at Thirsk. But I do think that pull of the weights could count for an awful lot tomorrow. And it just sort of the busy schedule, I might be wrong, but I think it'll be the only thing to get him beat, because he is a weight carrier, carried 10 stone very well at Chester the weekend, so there's no problems there. I just think maybe the busy schedule could get him beat up there tomorrow, and if he is beat, for me, I think Vindicator is the one that might just outstay him.
Okay, taking a chance on Vindicator then in the 4 o'clock at Ayr. And the second race we look at is the 6:10 at Kempton Park. This is a Class 5 nursery. 5 furlongs is the trip for this one. Looks quite an open enough looking nursery. Which ones have caught your eye in there?
The one I like here was John Egan's mount. Have one yourself. One on nursery debut back in August. Handicapper has only popped it up £2 since that. And just think it looks progressive. Off a mark of 72, I think still has a little bit of rope to play with. I really do respect Connections. I think Johnny Butler is a very, very good operator. And when he calls on Johnny Egan's services, they've got a great strike rate together, Mark. Very, very good when they do team up. Now, the one thing you've got to factor in here is he is making his debut on the artificial surface.
Yeah.
So you've got to factor that in. But I'm not really put off by that. And although there is some maybe likely improvers lurking in this field, I do think Have One Yourself, off its mark of 72, has got a little bit of rope to play with. He's well boxed in 4, and John Egan, very, very shrewd tactical rider. So he won't be lacking in any department in that sense. And I just did fancy him here to go back to back.
Have One Yourself, then, the fancy for Paddy in that 6:10 at Kempton Park. Thank you very much, Paddy. It's been a pleasure seeing you once again. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you.
And Paddy will be in the studio on Tuesday. He'll be joined by Stephen Powell and Kevin O'Malley. The meetings are Ayr, Sedgefield and Southwell in the afternoon, and it's Kempton and Dundalk throughout the evening. So plenty to go out there on Tuesday. Do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.